Well, hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. I'll be sharing first, and then Brother Timothy will follow me this morning. And then, of course, we want to leave plenty of time for all the saints to share your portion. But when Brother Timothy called me yesterday, we were sort of without words. Like, it's so rich. You know, really, it's that rich. This word in Colossians, this fellowship concerning knowing and experiencing this Christ, right, who is all-inclusive. He's extensive, right? But this week, we're on this matter that he is the reality of every positive thing. Okay, we'll get into that in just a minute. But anyhow, basically, as a quick overview, we are, for those who are new among us or are visiting today, we have been in this book of Colossians and seeing this Christ that is for our experience. So something that I found very helpful when I first started into this fellowship in this book, I was helped by this sharing about the three C's in the book of Colossians. Simple, we can remember it, that there are three C's. The first C is, hallelujah, Christ. Right? Christ is so wonderful. And we see that God has a will, and his will was to eventually resulted in the creation of the whole universe. And that his will is that Christ would be everything in God's economy. Right? That's his desire. And we see this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. We also see, we know from our experience, that not everything in us is Christ, right? There's this matter of the fall, who we are in Adam. And so for this, we come to the second C, which is the cross. Hallelujah. So in Colossians, the cross is there to, hallelujah, wipe out the handwriting and the ordinances, right? The Lord took all the things about us that are different. And the verse says in Colossians chapter 2 that he nailed it to the cross. Very strong language. But this is wonderful news because those things were against us and he took them out of the way. Praise the Lord. He wiped them out. So, of course, we need the cross applied to us in our being, right? So many things. And we'll come to this in a few minutes. But finally, the issue of this Christ in us as a hope of glory, he is lived out of us, right? The cross is applied, and in the cross, we experience resurrection. You know, the amazing thing about the death and the resurrection is that they are like the same thing. They're like a coin that has heads and tails. If you get the coin, you got the heads and you got the tails. You get the death, you get the resurrection. Hallelujah. And that is what we need. Hallelujah. So this issues in the third C, which is the church. Hallelujah. That's us. Praise the Lord. So I just feel like that's helpful as we're in this fellowship to kind of see that overview. And then before we come to the banner fellowship this morning concerning the reality of all positive things, I'd like to pull up Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. And in this verse, we see a great contrast between two aspects of our God. On the one hand, you'll see, he is majestic and transcendent. And I gave these words to the translators, so they won't be surprised when I start using these words. We don't usually use these kind of words. On the other hand, he's so imminent. He's so close to us, right? And so we'll see that in just a moment. Let's go ahead and read these verses together. High and exalted one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I will dwell in the high and holy place, and with the contrite and the lowly of spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. So at the beginning of the verse, we see this majestic aspect. He dwells in the high, holy place. His name is holy. And so this is our God in his transcendence, right? How can you approach this God? On the other hand, he also is so close to us. He's so imminent. He's right there with the heart and spirit of the contrite. Contrite means like our conscience is pricked. So anyways, we have a repentance to the Lord. He comes And when he comes, he is close to us. In Isaiah 40, verse 12, it says, I'm sorry, which verse is this? One second. Just one moment here. Anyhow, let me not get distracted by this. He is in our mouth and in our heart. This is the word of faith in Romans. Praise the Lord. Chapter 8. So anyhow, this is our majestic God. This God, who is majestic and imminent, got into the business of creating at the beginning of the age, right? He inhabits eternity here. And many times we think of eternity as being a long time. Well, it is. You could say that. But actually, eternity existed before there ever was any time, right? We say, sometimes we say, in eternity past, before the creation, there is God. Actually, this is God's habitation, right? Before there's creation, there's the triune God existing in his essence. This is who he is, okay? But at a certain point, and we will see these in the coming verses in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, we see that he gets into the business of creation. And when he creates, it's very subjective. So let's go ahead and turn to those verses next. Visible God, the firstborn of all creation. All things were created in the heavens and on the earth, the things and the invisible. Thrones or lordships or rulers or princes have been created in him and unto him. Praise the Lord. Okay, and then verse 17, he is before all things, and all things cohere in him, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Hallelujah. He might have the first place in all things. So from these verses, we see, and our brother shared last week, that our Christ is the firstborn, right? The prototype, the prototokos, the first in a series. He is the firstborn of all creation. And we don't want to be misunderstood that we're saying that the creation is God. We're not saying that. But we are saying that this transcendent God, at a certain point, put on creation as the man, the God-man, Christ Jesus. He partook of flesh and blood, and in this way, he put on creation. And then he has the first place in everything, including creation. But what I want to bring our attention to now is verse 16. In verse 16, we see how is it that he created, okay? So and a key word we want to pay attention to, there are three prepositions. In, through, and unto. In, through, and unto. Okay, so let's go ahead and see again. Because in him, all things were created. Let me stop there. So this word in is the sphere in which God created, right? It's the power of Christ's person. He's creating. The whole creation comes into being through him. And then as we scroll down towards the bottom of this verse, all things have been created through him. This word is another word in Greek. It's through him, like issuing forth between or even coming out of him. And then the final verse here says, unto him. And I was very helped by this definition, that unto can also be understood as resulting in. So the whole creation is in Christ. It comes through Christ. It bears his expression, having come through him, and ultimately results in Christ. What a view. You know, honestly, I think we sometimes think, creator, it's like my kid in the sandbox, creating something. Very objective, but actually he was very subjectively involved. So why am I spending all this time on this point? Is because this Christ, when he created in this way, and then put on the flesh as a man, it was easy for him to find an example of himself. Because everything looks like him. When the sun comes up in the morning, you see the glory of Christ, right? Actually, what you're really seeing, we're going to see in a few moments in this next verse, is the shadow of the reality that is in Christ. So Praise the Lord. As we were saying, and our brother will share many more things about the types. I am the way, the truth, the life, the light, the bread, the drink, right? Think about a drink. Sometimes in the summertime, I'm out there mowing the yard, and I don't really like to stop when I get going because then I might not finish, and my yard might be half mowed like this. So I keep going, and then I get really, really, really thirsty, right? Really thirsty. And you know what is the greatest thing on earth at that moment? A drink of water. It's like I can't drink it fast enough. But the reality of that satiation of my thirst is Christ. That's just a shadow. So anyhow, so now I'd like to quickly come to Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 18 again, and we read these at the beginning. Let's go ahead and pull those verses up. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, we can just quickly see this. Let no one therefore judge you in eating and in drinking, or in respect of a feast, or of a new moon, of the Sabbath, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. Okay, and we can stop there for now. So here we see this matter of a shadow and a body that casts the shadow. And our brother, in sharing this message in this conference, used a very helpful illustration. He talked about playing hide and seek with his grandchildren, and that perhaps on a sunny day, the child is hiding behind a tree. So he can't see them with his line of sight. However, the sun is shining, and there's a shadow on the ground. And he said you could trace the shadow to the body of the shadow. And when you did that, you got the face of the person. And I really appreciated that. You know, this is the way it is. All these things in our experience, in our daily life, right? These things that are mentioned here, eating and drinking, that's our daily life, right? We do that every day, pretty much. And then also, there are some things here that are weekly, right? The matter of the Sabbath. There's the matter of the holidays, right? The feasts. These are annual. So in our life, it's marked by these different kinds of things. There is the Lord. But do we see him? Do we recognize him? In our rushing about, we might not recognize the Lord. And again, here it's talking about the observances of the Old Testament. But as one brother pointed out a couple weeks ago, the rushing causes us not to absorb Christ. It impedes the absorption of how rich our Christ is because we just don't see him. We missed it. And one point that I quite a bit enjoyed from the fellowship last week from Daniel is that we need the environment for the Lord to work out his purpose amongst his people. The circumstances can be one way. They look a certain way. But actually, behind the scenes, the heavens rule. And actually, in that circumstance, there were the children of Israel for 70 years in captivity. That's a bad situation. And yet, God's purpose was being worked out. Why? Because there were a few who exercised their spirit. They weren't passive. Together they prayed. There's Daniel praying with his windows open to Jerusalem, and God was able to move and carry out his purpose with his people at that time. So, Lord, make us these ones who are together, laboring together, with our companions in the Lord, in our daily life. You know, the trenches of this battle are changing in diapers. A baby who won't go to sleep at night, right? The sisters, they know this trench well, right? It's a boss who is unfair or unjust, right? It's so many things, the struggles in our daily life. This is where the Lord wants to meet us, right? That we would partake of him and enjoy him. And I really appreciated this word. Let no one judge you. The judging in these verses causes the defrauding. And you know, the thing about being defrauded is you may not even realize it has happened to you. You know, some people get hacked online and their identities get stolen and money gets taken away. And they don't even realize until they get a, a repossession call or a, you know, like the bank's calling and they're saying, what happened? You know, we could be defrauded of experiencing Christ and not realize it. So, but the other thing here I appreciate, it says, let no one judge you. You know, you might ask yourself, can I really experience Christ as the reality of every positive thing? Is that really possible? I know my situation. I know what I'm dealing with. Could I really experience him this way? Guess what? We are judging ourselves. We may be our own worst enemy. But God's economy is in faith. Right, Brother Timothy? So we need to be those believing, coming to his word, letting his word indwell us, letting his word energize us. You know, that verse in John 6:63, that's the Ramata word, right? There's the Lord. The words that I have spoken to you are instant living words, and they are your life, right? But let the word of Christ dwell in you. In Colossians is the Logos word. That's the constant word. We take in his word on these really helpful sheets, right? It's only a single piece of paper. I'm going to demonstrate what the brothers often demonstrate. It fits in a pocket right here. I can carry it with me anywhere. The word, get it into us. It indwells us. It enlivens us. And from there, the Lord, and we're also holding the head. That's the other one I appreciated, right? We're holding the head. When holding the head means we have a body consciousness, right? The brothers would often demonstrate this. You know, I say that I love this person. I love the head, but I'm kicking the knees and the shins, right? Right? Then I'm not really loving the body. I'm certainly not loving the head of the body in reality. But when we are holding the head, the body grows together. We care for one another. And guess what? The second C, the big C in the middle, the cross, is actually being applied. And the resurrection life is also being infused. And we are becoming the one new man. Hallelujah. So you could say, well, I'm not pure. I know that there's a part of me that is not Christ. Therefore, I'm just going to take a step back and let everybody else handle things. We could take that approach, kind of disengaging. I could say, well, the brothers asked me to share, but I know that I have a self, and my self is very obtuse. Therefore, I'm just going to put the Bible on the podium as an exhibit of the truth. But you know what? We would be deficient. And God, I won't say he got defrauded, but he would miss out because his goal is for us to experience the all-inclusive and extensive Christ. And that takes our engaging him day by day, in the trenches, in our daily life, and hallelujah, God's enemy gets defeated. Okay, I'm going to hand it over to Brother Timothy. There's too much here, saints. I mean, it's just, we're so blessed to have this, the rich ministry and the rich fellowship amongst all the brothers and sisters.
Roger and I, we have the same burden. We feel this should be very necessary for us today. And for the church life. You know, last week we covered the all-inclusive and extensive Christ having the first place in, having the preeminence. The preeminence can also be translated the first place. And I try to practice that, you know, let the Lord have the first place. When I go home, when I get into the car, when I'm sitting down, I want to turn to the Lord first. But my reaction afterwards was, the Lord is the first, I'm the second, you know. But in fact, to have the first place is to have all the places. That means the Lord should be all. The reason I mention this is the same, I feel, what we are covering last week concerning knowing and experiencing the all-inclusive and extensive Christ as the reality of all things, all the positive things. And of course, this is based on the Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, he mentioned that no one judge you, our brother already mentioned. And in the context, I feel Paul had the view of the Old Testament, and not just Old Testament, some regulations, but in this mentioning the items concerning eating and drinking, concerning having a feast, you know, and having a new moon, had the Sabbath, all this, which is our daily living. So Paul had a view of God's people in the Old Testament, what kind of living they have, you know. Every day they eat something. Of course, there are regulations concerning the eating, and there are regulations concerning every week. You know, you need to keep the Sabbath, and every month you have the new moon, and every year the other feast, seven feasts. So all this encompasses God's people's living. Now, Paul used this to turn the Colossians, the believers, to some kind, to a kind of living that is our daily living. The Old Testament, they're keeping all this, you know. It's very good, you know. You are God's holy people. You are certain things you eat, certain things you don't eat, and they keep the Sabbath every week, and you are separated, sanctified unto God, and have new moon, and you offer something, and you enjoy before God and with all God's people, and seven feasts. It's very rich. But Paul here, it comes to a point that is, all this, they are figures, they are types. Then Paul mentioned, all this, the reality or the body is Christ. Amen. So today, we are no more occupied by all the rituals. We are here having the reality which is Christ as the reality of all these things. One thing troubled me when I was going over this is that what we have, the title of the message is Christ is the reality, not just those figures and signs, but Christ is the reality of all the positive things.
Amen.
Since sitting here, you look at the things around, you know, when you come to the meeting, there are many positive things. And the point is, Christ is the reality of all the positive things.
Amen.
Wow. I was trying to find out, based on what? The brothers present this point to us. Of course, you know, when I spend a little time, also the outline is very clear. Our daily necessities, you know, every day. You know, while we're sitting here, we are breathing. Every day, we have your brother mentioned about thirsty. I was drinking also. Drinking, eating, right? And putting our clothing, our daily living, our dwelling, all this. Every day we do it. But it's mentioned that we should experience day by day Christ as our breath, Christ as our water, Christ as our food, Christ as our rest, Christ as our clothing, and Christ as our dwelling place. Wow. This is something opening our eyes to see that today our Christ is involved in our everyday living, in the smallest things. And we can experience him in this way. Of course, the message also mentioned that Christ, in fact, in the Old Testament, including the New Testament, there are six categories telling us Christ is reality. Christ is the body. The six categories are human beings. And also the category concerning animals, concerning the plants, concerning the minerals, and also concerning the offerings, and concerning the food we eat. So all this, they are figures and types of Christ. So I have to confess, you know, I'm very lacking in experiencing Christ in all these aspects. You know, when we come to the meeting, we just come through the door and we sit down and we, you know, we have a, you know, we just, you know, ready, enjoy the meeting. We didn't realize when we come through the door, Christ is the door. When we're sitting down, yes, you know, I rushed here, I need to take a little breath, and Christ is that. So to me, I realized I'm missing a lot, that in my daily living, so many things, that Christ is that thing. You know, we all thank the Lord for all the provisions the Lord has given us. You know, we had that hymn, the last hymn we sang was 600, you know, people grasp the whole world. And if no Christ, no reality. This morning I was talking to my wife. I said, sometimes we're so busy, you know, we're just busy with our things. You know, this week I called Roger. Originally we said we have a time together. And when I called Roger, Roger said, today is just so busy, right? He has no time for us to fellowship. So we end up fellowship yesterday afternoon or, you know, late. So all the busyness is occupying us. That the key word I feel in this message is our prize. God has given us a prize, and that prize should not be taken by anyone or anything. That is Christ as our portion. So I was praying for Roger. You know, with his busyness, he's working overtime. Sometimes Monday we fellowship, he sent a text, oh, I'm still in the office. And also with her kids, you know. So Roger is maybe one of our typical brother, both working in the church life, serving, you know, so much occupied. And yet, you know, he's ready to share. I'll pray his portion. So I just thank the Lord that today, look around, we can see so many positive things. And we should enjoy this positive thing. Even I was telling my wife that, you know, I enjoy my breakfast. I don't know whether you enjoy your breakfast or not. Sometimes when we're very busy, we just eat and we don't know what we eat, you know. But all this enjoyment God has given to us. But God wants us to enjoy something even more. Amen. That is Christ as our prize. Amen. You know, last night in the Stony Brook, we had a kind of welcome dinner for the students and for the saints in school. And the title was Come and Find Rest. Our real rest is Christ. Amen. If we don't have Christ, we can sit down, but our heart is just, you know, the waves up and down, and but we have Christ, and Christ is our rest. So Christ is the reality of all the positive things. Amen. You know, yesterday I think we have five tables or so. There's one sister's table. There were four brothers' table, tables for the male students and the one for the female students. And one new ones came. There were quite a few new ones came. And one new one came. She told the sister on the table that she was going on the web to find out whether there's a Christian meeting. And she found out there was one, and she came. And after the brothers and sisters share concerning come and find rest, which is based on Matthew 11. And soon after the sharing, then she started crying. And she was going through a very difficult time in her life. The family, the parents, they have a situation. And she just kind of feels she found rest. So the rest is not just, you know, you come and sit down, but something is something inward. So I really enjoy that the Lord has provided all this that we will experience Him, will be brought to Him, you know, that we will not be defrauded from so many, occupied by so many outward things. And our heart, our being, can be taking the law as the reality of all the positive things. I think we, all the sense, we all have these experiences, you know. This week, even I have some situation with the banks. You know, the checks bounced. So so I have to run around and figure out. And I said, I told the Lord, this is so complicated. You know, I'm not in the banking. I'm not so familiar with the banking. But once I pray, you know, the Lord just opens the way. And the wind is off. But the point, the Lord remind me, the point is not solve the problem. The point is in the process, we experience the Lord. We experience He is the faithful one. We experience Him even in all this. We can have peace. We can have the Lord's presence. So today, our Christian life, you know, it's talking about the Christian life. The Christian life is a life of enjoying Christ, not doing many things right, you know. I was talking to someone also. There's something, I was making an arrangement, and I made an arrangement in the beginning one way. Then I feel a little different, and so I made an arrangement, I adjust the arrangement, and told the brother, and I feel the second arrangement was good, because, you know, the first arrangement, there was something lacking. Again, the Lord remind me, it's not that you're doing something good, so you'll be happy. The happy is you have put down yourself. Our brother mentioned, you know, Christ, cross, right? So we put ourselves aside, and we experience the Lord. That is the price. That is what the Lord wants. So today, we're not in the realm of right or wrong. Today, we are in the realm of enjoying Christ as our portion. So thank the Lord. You know, this portion is, I just feel that it's the same burden that, you know, letting the Lord have in the first place is letting the Lord to have all the places and bring everything, every matter, every person to the Lord, that we will enjoy He as our portion. You know, this is the same as the heaven in the first place, and also as, you know, we are in the good land. The good land is all that we need. And this time, this past week, we went over that He is the reality of all the positive things. It's for us to, in everything, in taking every opportunity to enjoy this Christ. I feel I'm very short. You know, there was a brother, quite often he shared, he said, you know, he was driving on the highway, he will see a sign or see a call box. Oh, then he said, oh, I'm just reminded I need to call the Lord. I need to call on the name of the Lord. So Friday night when I was with the brother, we were driving together to Stony Brook. He said, oh, there's a sign. Life is good. Let's enjoy it. I said, right. But life is good. The Lord has, you know, provision for us for our daily living. But the real life is the life of the Lord Jesus. We should enjoy this life. We should not be miserable. You know, on one hand, yes, you know, the Lord provides us for our physical need. But the real element, satisfaction factor is the Lord Jesus. Is the Lord Jesus. So I'm practicing this. If I come in, Christ is the way. If I go through the door, the Lord is the door. So that is why we are in this, you know, in this message, in this burden, let's practice it. I think, you know, the brother said, if we have such a view, our living will be revolutionized. We will not be so occupied by just the physical thing. We will realize the Lord is trying to point us. You know, the shadow means, you know, you see the shadow, there's something real. But the real thing is not just you found the Lord, but you see the Lord. You touch the Lord. You receive the Lord speaking. That is the point. And at the end, I also enjoy concerning the church, you know, the three C, right? The three C is Christ, cross, and the church. But in the context of Colossians, it doesn't use the term church in the context. It used the term body. It used the term head. Christ, in the beginning, it mentioned concerning Christ in chapter 2, verse 16 to 19. But in that portion, at the end, it mentioned that holding the head. That means we, and while enjoying the Lord, we are enjoying the Lord in the body. And we have the body consciousness. And while we're enjoying Him, in fact, our natural being is being crucified. So we don't insist on our opinions. You know, our opinions in the families, quite often the husband and wife may have some discussion, different things, you know. One has this opinion, the other one has the other opinion. If we are enjoying the law, it's easy to let down. Doesn't mean much. My opinion, her opinion, praise the law. So long as we have the law, you know, either way is fine. And so I enjoy that this enjoyment of the law, that the law infuse himself into us. And that is for our growth, and that is for the growth of the body. And that is for the producing of the new man. That in the new man, Christ is all and in all. So I'm just so thankful that we can go over this portion of the word. May the Lord turn us and enter into more and more experience of the law as the reality of all the positive things. It doesn't mean the law is the reality of all things. Only the positive thing. The negative things, while we're enjoying the law, is being terminated. So it's not by our efforts that we try to do something, try to collect someone. We are here just hold on the head. Amen. That no one deprive, take away our prize. We'll open the time for all the saints to share your enjoyment of Christ as the reality of all the positive things. Amen.